Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 18th, 2016, the ninth day of the session. Today is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the House of Origin. Tomorrow is the last day for committee of the whole in the House of Origin. And third reading amendments on the budget are due in by 5 o'clock today. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen, Baker, here. Baldwin, Barlow, here. Berger, here. Blackburn, here. Blake, here. Burkhart, here. Bird, here. Campbell, here. Kennedy, here. Clem, here. Connolly, here. Dayton, here. Edmonds, here. Edwards, here. Eklund, here. Escabel, here. Freeman, here. Gay, excused, Greer, Halverson, here. Harshman, here. Harvey, here. Hunt, here. Yagi, here. Jennings, here. Kasparik, here. Kinner, present. Kirkbride, here. Croker, here. Crone, here. Larson Lloyd, here. Larson Dan, here. Lindholm, here. Lockhart, here. Laux, here. Madden, here. McKim, here. Miller, here. Moniz, here. Nicholas, here. Nicholas excused, Northrup, here. Paxton, here. Felke, Petrov, Piperinen, here. Pinnell, here. Reeder, present. Schwartz, here. Summers, here. Steinmetz, here. Stubson, here. Throne, excused, Walters, here. Wilson, here. Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, here. Mr. Speaker, here. 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Pastor Roger Whitmore, representing Cheyenne Hills Church.
Let's pray. Once again, God, I want to give you thanks for the men and women in this room and the work that is getting done. God, you give us an urge in Galatians that we should not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a reward if we do not give up. And so, God, I want to pray for these representatives, for their work today, that they would not grow weary, but, God, that they would keep pressing on with the agenda that is set before them. God, that you would give them capacity, clarity, and patience. God, so bless the work, the hands of their work today, that they would reap a harvest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball! Hey, have a good day. Pardon me? It was fine. It was good.
I'd ask to have the heat turned up in the afternoon. Everybody's been complaining.
Yeah. Seems like it cools off as the day goes on.
I phoned message yesterday, but Trevor left early.
Oh.
So he told me this morning that we need to
creep it up just a little bit. Yes, you may.
All right. So I want to make an observation about something that happened yesterday and then a request regarding it. Yesterday morning.
I've already chewed him out twice for it.
You have?
Yes.
All right. May I make the request then that they should not be excused? If if there's a meeting, then it includes all members of the committee. Otherwise, it is just a group of people who are not here when they're supposed to be.
Well, you got a good point. Let me think about that.
All right. Thank you.
You have a good point. I don't want them cutting you out of those. And I talked to him, and Harshman said we were just in there arranging some stuff. And I said, well, then why in the hell didn't you have Kathy in there with you? If that's all you're doing, you're not even doing it in person. Furthermore, I said, I think it's a meeting. It's an unannounced, undisclosed, untransparent meeting.
There's one thing for us to coordinate, of which I am part of. I have agencies that I'm responsible for that I know about. I was, they had a meeting without me. Nothing for our attorney.
Well, that's not good.
No.
I chewed them out twice.
That is, I think, kind of an official.
Maybe this will prompt the third two.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't go down there either.
Can you make an announcement this morning about let's get through this general file and not be talking so much so we can get on to second two?
No, I can't limit debate. Can't limit debate. Journal report. Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 17, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz. Representative Steinmetz.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor,
please. Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. Just wanted to welcome our Troington Trail Elementary students. Sheila Beaver is our fourth grade teacher from Troington, Wyoming. Please make them feel welcome. Please stand up. Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please. Proceed.
Please join me in welcoming in the gallery our County Commissioner, Mr. Rob Hendry.
Representative Kinner.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Please join me in welcoming back in the fishbowl from NCSL, Julie Poppy. Welcome, Julie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Julie Poppy is Wyoming's liaison to the National Conference of State Legislatures. She'll be here today to visit with legislators about NCSL services. The Wyoming legislature pays dues to belong to NCSL, and the organization has a wealth of resources to help you with your legislative work. Ms. Poppy will be here all morning. As I mentioned, if you have any questions about NCSL services or requests for information, she'd be happy to visit with you in the lobby. The doctor of the day is Casey Miller from Cheyenne. Would you welcome him, please? Rep. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I am pleased to introduce today my mayor from the town of Jackson, to whom I am not married, Sarah Flitner.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Vertically challenged. Majority floor leader.
Whoa!
I would never say that.
Right.
Please.
The good representative from Lander is making me a rosy soapbox. And then watch out, folks. All right. Well, Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to remind everyone again. Now, Mr. Speaker, we really can run the House today. Thank you, Representative Larson. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to remind everyone that we have the Governor's Prayer Breakfast next Wednesday, and if you'd still like to join us, you can leave me a donation for that or let me know that you're coming, and we'd love to see you. It starts at 7 o'clock, and anyone has time and wants to delay their meetings on Wednesday morning to make certain that they can participate, that would be great. Thank you. And thank you, Representative Larson.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
A lot of people ask me where these thumb drives that were on your desk were from that I distributed. They're from the Wyoming Peace Officers Association, so please support your police people. Thank you.
Is there anything on them?
No. It's for
okay.
Your use.
Okay. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce in the aquarium a member of our city council, Andy Somerville. And honestly, I think our majority floor leader might beat her in terms of the height competition. Yes, she might. And here she is. Okay.
Representative Pinnell.
Mr. Speaker, pleasure floor.
Yes, please.
I'd like to welcome back here in the far fishbowl back there, back in the deal, is the sheriff and undersheriff from Campbell County, Scott Matheny and Quentin Reynolds.
We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 2. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 2 from the Management Council, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 2 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 15. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 15 from Statewide Education, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
Senate File 15 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32 from Education, an act relating to the Wyoming Education in Accountability Act.
Senate File 32 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34 from Corporations, an act relating to fiduciaries, providing fiduciaries access to electronic records.
Senate File 34 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 45.
37.
Senate File 37. The reading clerk will read the file.
You know, Mr. Speaker, you remind me of a blind man at a Riverdance show. You know it? Senate File 37 from Corporations, an act relating to boards and commissions.
Senate File 37 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45 from Labor, an act relating to rural health care districts.
Senate File 45 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom are referred House Bill 134, Involuntary Commitment-Gatekeeper Pilot Program, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 56, Dietitian Reimbursement, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 139, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 9, Railroad Quiet Zones, ayes 30, no 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 140, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 68, Budget Shortfall Measures, ayes 25, noes 5, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 141, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 75, Criminal Trespass to Collect Data Amendments, ayes 29, noes 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 142, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 76, Civil Trespass to Collect Data-Amendments, ayes 29, noes 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 143, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 103, At-Will Employment Contracts, ayes 30, noes 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 144, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 40, Abandoned Mine Land Funds, ayes 23, noes 7, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Are there any re-referrals?
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 56 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 56 is re-referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 51. There are amendments.
House Bill 51 from Appropriations, an act relating to local government funding.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 51 and ask for the body's favorable approval. Members, we hear a lot about government and what which form of government is best. And I think all of us would say that the government closest to the people is the most responsive to the people and the best form of government. And cities, towns, and counties are that front line in terms of providing services to people. And in particularly in this economic environment with declining property tax, with declining sales tax, they are being stretched financially. And so the purpose of House Bill, the amendment to House Bill 51 is to increase that direct distribution to cities, towns, and counties. And the essence of it is to increase that number by $15 million to $105 million in direct distribution. I think it's clear that cities, towns, and counties know that that direct distribution is not an entitlement. They realize that it is a prerogative of the legislature to provide that. But at the same time, they are being stretched, and their basic infrastructure needs are waning, and they need support, particularly in this difficult time. So I would urge you to increase that amount to $105 million. I think that it's going to be well spent. It's going to be well managed by those cities, towns, and counties, and I believe it's the right thing to do in this environment. So I urge your support to Amendment number 1.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand honored in support of this amendment. You know, our county doesn't fare very well, and we're fortunate. We have good minerals in our county, and perhaps we don't need it as much as others. But there's some really struggling counties out there and some small towns, of which I do have some, that struggle to make ends meet, and I would just encourage the body to support this amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm glad this amendment came. It gives me an opportunity to exploit a teachable moment. I want to show you what that does. You know, and I find this a little bit uncomfortable. In the meantime, find this handout that I gave with my name on it. But I find myself a little uncomfortable talking about this amendment because in the last 6 to 8 years, two-thirds of the time those years, I was the one that brought the amendment that you have before you right now. But the difference was when I did it, or I should say in previous years, we were always talking about real money that we had. This is excess or surplus money that we collectively decided to distribute to local governments. And we also, in the past, have distributed consensus money to governments as well. As you know, during the interim, the Management Council asked our committee to look at an improvement in the distribution formula, and that's what we did. And I think when you get done with listening to this, you're going to realize that it isn't so, you know, it probably isn't so wise to take money out of our stabilization reserve account to increase this even more. What I've got, ladies and gentlemen, if you look on the side that's got my name on it, the outcome for cities and towns will be, as you see in the first column where it says actual 2015. The reason that's true is that none of the parameters have changed, and
also the amount is exactly the same. So you might just take your pen or pencil, whichever you're using, and on top of where it says actual fiscal year 2015, write 105 on there, okay? Now, the other side of the formula shows, and this is the old distribution formula, the existing distribution formula in column 3. Now you look at column 6, all right? That's, you can put the number 90 up on top of that because that represents 90 million. All right, well, it's already there, I see. But, and then you can put 90 above the column 5, too. And it shows the comparison of the existing formula and what that does to cities and towns compared to the power equalization formula on the column 6. All right? But the important thing I want you to see in this, if you're all paying attention here, is to look at column 6 as we move down the first community that is starts with an A, and its one number is 183 under a 90 million distribution, and 105, the 105 distribution is 154. So what you can see for that community is that the worst thing that could happen to them, well, not the worst thing, but one thing that would be detrimental to them is that we'd end up using the old formula with this amendment that's on the table right now, because it would cost them $30,000 almost. You go to the next one. They're better off under 90 million than they are under 105 million with the old formula. You go to the next one in Lincoln County. You're better off with the power equalization formula at 90 million than you are with 105 million. And go right down the line, and there's a few exceptions. When you get to my hometown, they will not be well served by the power equalization formula, but there's a reason for it. Their ability to finance themselves is far better than it is some of these other communities. But I'm willing to, you know, I'm not known for a lot of avarice, and I hope that most of you aren't either. So anyway, go down the line, go find any town you're interested in, and find out how much they're going to be injured if we adopt this amendment of another $15 million, but distribute it like we've always distributed. Okay? Now, the only ones that are going to benefit by it is the ones that are fully able to finance themselves very well, and they're the ones that take the distribution and save it and put it in the bank. But I maintain that the reason we're distributing money is to help local governments that need the money. All right? The other thing I can show you here, well, I think I'll wait on that. But what's the takeaway? The takeaway, folks, is that the worst possible outcome that could occur is if, the worst possible outcome is if this budget amendment fails and then we end up in column 5. That's the worst thing that can happen. The best thing that could happen, I suppose, you could say is if the amendment passed and we used the power equalization formula, because that many more towns and communities would be benefited by it. So what I'm telling you is that just because we're adding 15 million doesn't mean that every town is going to be benefiting by it. There's going to be some towns that's going to get hurt real bad if we add that 15 million but use the old formula. Okay? So, do your thing on that, and I guess we'll see what happens on the next amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I certainly appreciate the good representative's analysis of the differing formulas. And I guess I would just put out to the body, there's going to be winners and losers under any formula. And you can go through both the proposed Second Amendment to this bill's formula and the existing formula, and you're going to go down and you're going to see winners and losers. And that's just the nature of the funding formula. I would ask you to separate Amendment number 2 to this and the good representative's analysis until the next amendment. I think we need to look at total funding levels for cities, towns, and counties, and whether the additional $15 million is in or out, there's going to be winners and losers. There's no question about it. And whether you think that the winners should be the smaller communities or you think the winners should be the larger communities, that's just the nature of it. That's just the nature of the formula. What this amendment does is increase the funding that is going to be dispersed. And without consensus funding and with decreasing property and sales tax, I think that this is an essential component to keeping our communities strong and safe and livable. So I would ask you to look at the formula on the next amendment and make your decision whether that's a more appropriate formula for the state of Wyoming or if the existing formula is. And I certainly appreciate the representative's hard work on that. But in terms of this amendment, I urge you to support it. This is essential funding to basically the boots on the ground of government in Wyoming. So I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. Not House Bill 1. House Bill 51. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 51. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading number 2 to House Bill 51, and we'll explain the consequence of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the bringer of the last amendment's comments that we needed to separate the discussions, but I think you can see that they're kind of inextricably linked together, aren't they? Now, I don't have a column. In my wildest dreams, I didn't think that amendment was going to pass. But I don't have a column, but I can give you the next best thing to a column. And that would be if you would add about, I would say add about 14. Somebody got a calculator and you could calculate. I think about 14 or 15%, roughly speaking, can be added to that column number 6 as a result of this amendment, okay? We're talking about distributing 90. It's not exactly proportionate, but it'd be awful close to that. So we're talking about in the column 6, we were distributing 90. We just need a new column to show what would happen if you distribute 105 under the power equalization formula. In this case, it's absolutely clear that the best formula for distributing and making the money go the furthest is the one of the power equalization variety. And I think it's fairly obvious. If you just added 15% more to all these numbers in the right column, even the town like I live in would be well served from that. But, the comment was made a little bit ago that was winners and losers, and you're right, there is winners and losers. But what we're trying to do is pick the winners should be as much as possible those that are least able to finance themselves, okay? And if there has to be any losers, those are the ones that are best able to finance themselves. We've got some communities where their per capita sales tax is $1,400, $1,500 for every man, woman, and child. And we got other counties adjacent to each other where the taxable sales, sales taxes per capita are $200, So, yeah, there's going to be winners and losers, and I think what we're doing is being judicious about you know, who are winners and who are losers. You know, there's some people, like, you know, that no matter how much money they want or they get, they want more. It's just the nature of some people. But I think if you look at it as a statesman and look at it for the good of the overall 99 communities in the state, that the best way to spend $105 million is with this formula. And I guess I'll stop for now.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just have a question. I was wondering if the good chair of revenue had visited with the organization that represents cities and towns and whether they have kind of supported this amendment or not. I believe the other amendment that failed in this regard was really because we hadn't coalesced around all the towns and cities and found out what they really wanted. So is this supported by that organization?
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I can actually answer that question. If you look in your inbox, there is an email from that organization, and they actually do not support this amendment. Folks, we've asked our organizations and associations to work together and to come to us at the legislature with one voice. And now, more than ever historically, that is what they're doing. They are working together, and they are coming to us with one voice. I voted in favor of the county formula that the good chairman of revenue came up with, even though it cost my county hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I voted for it because the counties came to us with one voice and said that that was what they wanted. They're speaking in one voice now. This is not the formula that they want. They're enormously appreciative of the chairman of revenue. They're using that as a jumping off point to develop their formula, but they're just not quite there yet. And I'm just asking to give them time, give them the next interim to come up with something they can all agree on. And so I'm encouraging all of you not to look at whether your town wins or loses on the sheet, but listen to the collective voice of those towns and counties and let them go with the old formula that they're all in agreement on now, and let them come back next year with a formula that again, they can all agree upon. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, this has been an issue a number of times through the years. There were some interesting things that went on. I can't remember when this formulas were changed previously that I really remember. It must have been 8 or 10 years ago. I think this is the first time someone with the background of our revenue chairman has looked at this from a mathematical perspective and trying to be fair to as many people in Wyoming as possible. That's why I support the amendment and ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I guess I stand on and against this amendment, and I stood on and for the amendment that was brought by the counties that really would really negatively affected my county. And that the reason I did that was because it was the right thing to do. It was something that had been brought by an agreed upon body, and this has not been agreed upon, and I think we need to wait, and when we hear that voice from them, then we act.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. How do you answer that? You know, the organization you're talking about has, you know, I was out there talking to him right after we had roll call, and I showed him, you know, what you're going to be doing to all of your members if you don't see this. And I just started down the list that you see in front of you, and this first town is going to be hurt by $30,000, and it's a poor town. They don't have a lot of resources. The next town is going to be hurt by $5,000 if you reject this amendment. And so it goes all the way down. Now you say, well, let's wait until they come back with something that's going to have universal agreement among 99 towns. You know, there's a theory of a collective decision making that says that you can get 23 people to agree to something a lot easier than get 99. And I can tell you, there's no such thing. The Almighty Himself cannot come up with a formula that all 99 towns are going to get benefited by, unless you do what we've done the last 10 years. The way we've done it before, we've taken a bad distribution formula and we camouflaged it by piling more money on top of it. Okay? That's what we've done. Some of you that's been around here a while know that's what we've done. Instead of distributing it in the most effective fashion, we just decided to pile more money on. And I don't think that's not an option for us anymore. I really don't think it is. So in other words, you know, with the criteria that committee or that organization uses of having unanimity in any kind of thing they recommend is not possible when we're talking about dollars and cents. Okay? A jumping off point, I heard that. They've been working on, I just don't see that. If they come up with a formula next year and say, we've come up with the magic bullet here, silver bullet, we can look at it. But I don't think we can just say that all these towns, and there's more towns that are hurt by it. If you go right down the list, both sides, there's more towns hurt by rejecting this amendment than are helped by it. Okay? So I really sincerely urge your support for this amendment. This took a lot of work. It took a lot of testimony of the ugly things that happen with this old formula during our committee meetings. We had one guy say, a mayor of a small town said that they had a new business move into town and they fell out of the hardship. And anyway, falling out of the hardship cost them $190,000. People on my committee can remember that testimony. Cost them $190,000, and it was a town they have a lot of young people that's running it, and they're go-getters, and they're economic development thinking type people. And the result was they fell out of the hardship by 63 cents it was, and it cost them $190,000 in this distribution formula. Now, if you think that's a good distribution formula, I got some oceanfront property in my back lot that I'll sell you. The hazards this brings about is that all the people that didn't want anything to happen in that town pointed the finger at the mayor and said, "What's the idea you drawing this new company to town? It costs us a lot of money, and you have to cut some expenditures and so on because you're doing too well." So, anyway, please support this amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 51. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 51 has passed. House Bill 51 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 60. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 60 from Labor, an act relating to institutions of the state.
There is an amendment. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 60. And all this amendment does is it holds off the expansion of the mission statement of the WLRC until such time as they're able to handle these patients. Currently, there are no facilities there that handle these particular patients, and that would have to come with some serious capital construction. And so this simply holds off changing those things until such time in the future as there will be an opportunity. Now, part of the changes, I understand, within this particular document, and I'm not trying to cut those out. This amendment simply extracts the portions that are duplicative with the mission of other state facilities. If we duplicate the mission at this time, it'll send signals throughout the system that could create uncertainty, and we'll not be able to see certain of these other facilities operate in a way that they can demonstrate their abilities, especially now that they're able to operate at a profit. And this just asks that we give them a chance until we're a bit further down the road. And so it extracts certain portions of the mission statement. You'll see that primarily on page number 6 at the top of the page. It extracts the statement, persons with high medical need, and then on number 4, line number 4 of page 6, persons who are hard to place. Secondly, going backwards to page number 4, down at line 19 through 22, it leaves the portion in on line 19 and upwards where there are individuals who are currently being housed there that have acquired brain organic brain syndrome. But it extracts the portions about dementia and so on where there are facilities right now. Secondly, on the top of page number 5, line 1, you'll see the phrase skilled nursing facility services. This is an expansion of their current usage right now at the WLRC. And so, Mr. Chairman, with that, I would welcome questions.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage the body to resist this amendment. The task force for the state facilities has worked 2 years to develop and come up with a plan that would address the needs of the citizens of the state and at the same time address the current conditions of the physical assets of the state facilities, replacing buildings where need be, having the ability. Previously, these facilities were all acting independently of each other. We've knocked those walls down or trying to be able to move clientele back and forth or as need be to the various facilities. This amendment would, in essence, gut that bill. And we would need to take the task force and start over and determine how we would address the situation. So I would just encourage you to be think twice about this, and hopefully you would vote nay on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's pretty obvious what this amendment is, but basically it's a mechanism to try and preserve a senior home that's run by the state up in the basin, but at the cost of the Life Resource Center in Lander, which at part of the of our mission statement with this with what we're doing with that task force is to revitalize and take care of the needy folks that are most in need, and take those facilities that we have in the center of the state and improve them and improve the quality of life for those folks and do it all in a fiscally responsible fashion. This is merely, and trust me, the place that's located up in Bighorn County, it's going to survive and it's going to continue to operate because it provides great services. And there are lots of folks that want to stay there and that will stay there. But, I mean, this is just a crutch in order to not basically make them survive on their own, to be cost efficient, and to adopt to the current situation that we're confronted with. So I sure, please look at it, because really this guts the bill, it guts the intent of what we're trying to do with the Life Resource Center and the State Hospital, and it kind of turns everything up on its head. So against the motion.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just on and against the amendment, one more comment I wanted to give the body the benefit of is, you know, this is what you see in this bill is the result of 2 years' work. I wasn't involved in that first year. I came on and was involved in the task force the second year. But even this second year, we had meetings at every institution around the state. We had public meetings at every time we met. We received comment on these issues probably five separate times, heard comments, debate, discussion. I think the Health Committee worked this bill over in six different drafts. And so what you see is really the product of an extended effort to accommodate all views and to make sure that we have a system that makes sense to as many people as possible. So in light of that work, I would ask that you defeat this motion, the second reading amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate the comments, and I also appreciate the hard work that has been done by this task force. And I don't want to gut all of their work. There are certain things that they have been able to do in working with the mission statements between the facility in Evanston and the one in Lander. I'm sorry for using those town terms, but it's been used so often, I don't know how else to say it. But I would say that the Life Resource Center is not at risk with this amendment. I don't want them to have risk. I appreciate what they're doing. I just want to hold off on this expansion of their mission statement until such time as there is a facility that is built at that place that would be capable of handling what is described here on page number 5, line 1, as a skilled nursing facility service. That right there would be a duplication of the mission statement of another facility right now. And I just want to see greater collaboration happen right now between these facilities and on into the future. Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 60. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 60 has failed. House Bill 60 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as all of you know, I don't get to do this very often because people from Carbon County don't come over very often. But I'd like to introduce a very large contingent of law enforcement from Carbon County. And I don't know if there's a message there or not. If they would all stand up in the fishbowl, the aquarium back there. They're all from Carbon County. Okay. Now, if I could get all the law enforcement personnel back there to stand, please. And one last reminder, lunch today over in L51 is on the sheriff's.
Representative Dayton.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
It's my honor today to introduce to you two special law enforcement people from Sweetwater County, particularly Rock Springs, our Chief of Police, Dwayne Pacheco, and Commander Clark Robinson. Welcome.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's unusual for somebody from Powell Country to move or come down here, and I'd like to recognize Chief Eckert and Josh Shorb. Welcome, guys.
Representative Campbell.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
It's my pleasure to introduce our sheriff from Fremont County, Skip Harnicker. Hey, hey.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, since we're doing privileges of the floor, I'd like to introduce our sheriff, Lou Falgu from Hot Springs County.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
In addition to all of these other fine people, in the back of the fishbowl is the Jackson Chief of Police, Todd Smith, and I believe he's accompanied by the county treasurer, Donna Bauer. It's a great combination.
Okay. Did we run our course here? We're now at that order of business of Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
We have a young generation back here in the gallery that I thought we should introduce. It's from a new school, Prairie Wind. I'd love for all of them to stand. And welcome to our legislature, and thank you for being part of the process.
Now, we're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list of the following bills: House Bill 935, 52, 53, 87, House Joint Resolution 2, and House Joint Resolution 4.
Would anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? Representative Walters.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have House Bill 9 removed, please.
House Bill 9 is removed from the consent list. Anyone else? Reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 35, Incorporations, an act relating to insurance, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 52, from appropriations, an act relating to school facility projects, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 53, from corporations, an act relating to the administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 87, from Representative Kinner, an act relating to school finance, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution 2, from Representative Blake, a joint resolution recognizing the contributions of Kenny Sailors to the game of basketball, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution 4, from Representative Somers, a joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation to remove the gray wolf and the grizzly bear populations from listing under the Endangered Species Act, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll. It's on the regular list.
Allen. Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Bird, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, excused, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Throne, excused to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 35, are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Edmonds, aye to no. Are there further changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 52, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 53, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Campbell, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 87, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 4, are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Byrd, aye to no. Are there other changes? Pelkey, aye to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 35, 52, 53, 87, House Joint Resolution 2 and House Joint Resolution 4 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. In due course, the reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 31 from Corporations, an act relating to the Uniform Securities Act, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 31 and will withdraw it at the proper time. I have some concerns with this bill on the real need to license these folks here in Wyoming. I did meet with the department since I filed this amendment, and most of my questions were answered satisfactorily. There is some issues out there that they felt that it was needed here in Wyoming. So I didn't withdraw the amendment yet because I know there's others that want to speak on this. So we'll go with that, and I'll pull it at the proper time.
Chairman Zwanitz or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's a great bill. Your interim committee worked really hard on it in consultation with the Secretary of State. I did leave a note on your desk, Mr. Speaker, of the three small changes in home cooking we did, none of which were controversial at all. I just remind the body this is a model act that's been around since 2002. We checked with over 400 people. We are going to regulate some investment advisors, and certainly didn't hear any complaints. Large majority of them would rather be overseen by the state level than by the Securities and Exchange Commission in D.C. And I would encourage your vote for the bill.
Representative Steinmetz, for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a couple more questions for the good chairman before we vote. Is this lining us up with the Dodd-Frank Act? I wondered about that. And then just I still remain a little bit unconvinced that we need to bring this federal regulation into our state statute. So unless he gives me a good reason, I'm probably going to be a no on the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, there's no relationship to the Dodd-Frank Act. Second of all, this is not federal law. It's out of the Uniform Commission of Law. We have their work in many places throughout our statutes. The Uniform Commercial Code might be what everybody is most familiar with. And my personal view on any of these uniform laws is that when we are different from other places, because again, they're uniform laws adopted by states across the country, when we are different, we make it harder for people, not easier. Harder, not easier. That's what everybody needs to understand about all of these uniform laws. Experts in the field, of which I am not one, get together. They resolve differences, they decide these issues, and then they come up with a plan. And that's why you don't see them very often, because it takes a long time. So I think it's important that we know what we're talking about. This is not a federal law. It's a uniform law developed by experts across the country.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a member of this interim committee, this is a big piece of legislation. It was painful to go through. But I did learn a lot in the meantime. And I would like to have the body turn to page 24 on your bill under 174203, Interstate Crowdfunding Exemption. This is 2016, and this is bringing Wyoming up to speed on what the rest of the United States is doing. It's a well-needed revision, and that's what this is about. And the good Madam Minority Floor Leader had it right. If we don't accept, we don't move forward with this, it actually makes it harder on people in the state of Wyoming to do business. So with that, on and against amendment, vote for the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitz or Dan?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Just to reiterate a couple things. So there's the federal, it's basically a federalism bill. So you have your federal Securities and Exchange Commission, which regulates your interstate commerce and your federal stock exchanges, stock brokers, those type of things. This is the comparison for states because states do have authority over our state-level securities and exchanges. We do have one. We talked a little bit about home cooking and how we really do like uniform acts, but we do have a couple of special things in our law. And the really great thing, the one major thing where we do have some home cooking is actually it's on page 54, and it doesn't require you to register with multiple firms. And we always have allowed dual registration. And so in a rural state, we don't have to sell different products because one firm can't always accommodate that due to our population. And so registration with more than one firm to reach a client is allowed, and it actually is less regulatory and less burdensome on people. And so the one area of home cooking, it's really exciting that it's less regulation, which I think we can all appreciate. So we did work hard in the interim. Again, this isn't anything too expansive. It's been over 50 years since the last act, and it just updates for kind of modern technology to be able to use electronic means in a lot of instances, and would encourage your i-vote.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The original concern I had was with the licensing requirements for the investment advisors. I did speak with the staff this morning, and they made a compelling argument that it's much easier for them to handle a complaint here in Wyoming instead of having one of our constituents here in Wyoming trying to get a hold of the SEC in Washington, D.C. I suppose some of you have had experience trying to call the IRS and spent hours on hold. I would imagine it's much the same process. And I would pretty much guarantee if you call the Secretary's Estate office, you're going to get an answer within seconds, if not immediately. So I'm for the bill. I'm going to vote for it. The crowdfunding part is really important. So we do need that. So I ask for your aye vote.
Did you want to withdraw your amendment, Chairman Miller?
Mr. Speaker, at this time I'll withdraw the amendment.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 31 has been withdrawn. House Bill 31 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 31, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 31 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 9 from Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 9, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 16 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 9, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 9 has passed the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole. We are going to consider the general file. Before I start that, I just wanted to give you a couple of notations here for today's calendar. We will take lunch, I hope, between 12 and 1:30. This is going to be a long day, and so I've arranged for us to have a dinner here tonight. What I'd like to see us do, my goal is to see if we can get through the general file. You have 55 bills on the general file. There will be some committees working over the lunch. That's why we have a 90-minute lunch hour. There are a couple of bills that need to get on the general file. So with that, if you are brief in your introduction of the Committee of the Whole, we could maybe accomplish this goal. Just to let you know that tomorrow is the last day of general file, and I'm not very optimistic that we would get much general file done tomorrow because we have third reading of House Bill 1, the budget, which I think is your priority for this session. So with tomorrow, just to mark your calendars, it's important for you to know that our start time will be 9 a.m. tomorrow. And my plan will be that there will be sandwiches for lunch from hopefully around 12 to 1 or 12:30 to 1:30, so that you don't need to leave the building and we can be just as expedient as possible in working the budget amendments and possibly do some general file before Friday night. Please come to me if you have any other priorities or questions. I'll be glad to help you. Also know I'm going to at this time work off our yellow sheet today that has the general file to try to keep us from having confusion. And the first thing I'm going to do, Mr. Speaker, in moving the general file is that we are going with the list, and the first bill that I'm going to move is the first one, House Bill 50. And I will insert that after House Bill 80, Community Colleges. So if any of you are working on Committee of the Whole amendments and you don't have them yet in hand, I can move the bill down for a bit to get the Committee of the Whole amendment. Also, if you have concerns with any of these bills being introduced today and if they pass the Committee of the Whole, you can bring amendments on second and third reading. And I would advise just that you put more emphasis on the time of discussion and concerns of your bills on second and third reading Monday and Tuesday when we have more time to debate. And with that, I'm ready to move the House into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Kinner. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 27. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 27 from the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature, modifying date for annual report on legislative activities, providing for oversight of temporary legislative facilities, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, in Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Conley, Hunt, Larson, Madden, Moniz, Northrup, Petroff, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Greer was excused, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, knowing that the body's anxious to move on to the rest of the bills, let me start by saying that I move that when the committee of, just kidding, the whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 27 do pass. This is a cleanup, really, of our statute, recognizing that we are no longer in the Capitol. It simply provides that the president and the speaker have the same authority over legislative areas in this building as they had in the Capitol. There's also a cleanup on, if you look on page 2 under 28.8.109, there's a cleanup, really, the December 15th report that was required. It was very difficult to get that done in that timeline, and so we moved that to January 15th. So, really, primarily just clean up. I'd take any questions that you may have. Otherwise, I'd call for the question.
Oh. Are you ready for the question? Question being called.
Just Mr. Chairman.
Oh, excuse me, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. Would the Management Council entertain an amendment with an expiration date?
Mr. Chairman, it's interesting. We actually we discussed that. I'm not sure that you need any expiration date because the language is written just simply says if we're displaced from the Capitol, they have authority over those legislative areas. And so the statute is good whether we're here, whether we're back in the Capitol, or whether we are in another building at some other time.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. House Bill 27 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63. Chairman of the reading, clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 63 from the Labor, an act relating to hospitals and healthcare facilities, creating a healthcare facility receivership act, providing definitions, providing procedures and standards for establishing and terminating a receivership, establishing powers and duties of a receiver, and providing for an effective date. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 63 do pass. And I'd like to turn the explanation over to the bill to Representative Barlow.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 63rd, I bring you House Bill 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to give you a little bit of history about why we even have this bill before us. So this past year, in 2015, we had two facilities in the state of Wyoming, nursing facilities, who the operator basically walked away. They could no longer operate the facility with the residents in the facility. No food in the cupboard, bills not being paid, staff not being paid, et cetera, et cetera. So we had a crisis, if you will, of care for some very vulnerable citizens of our state. And it was a little bit of a unique situation because the Department of Health, the department who oversees the licensing of these type of facilities, in consultation with the office that provides us legal advice as a to the executive branch, found a way that they could intervene and basically preserve the health and safety of these residents. But it was recognized quite quickly that this was not a clean and decisive way to do it. So the lesson learned in this was we needed some mechanism within Wyoming statute to protect vulnerable citizens when a facility is unable to meet their needs because of whatever reason. So this is where this came from. This is a collaborative effort between members of the off the committee number 10, Labor Health Committee, the department that's responsible for licensing, and our legal staff in the executive branch. So what before you is a step in the right direction, and I would say a very significant step in clarifying. So I'm going to walk us quickly through the bill and understand what is not being done in this bill and what is being accomplished in this bill. So the first page two, let's talk about what the healthcare facility is. So line 13, we're talking about a hospital, or line 14, a facility that normally provides 24-hour care. So ladies and gentlemen, this is not every facility in the state. We're not talking about doctor's offices or anything else because they don't require licensure. We're only talking about facilities that provide care and where the folks that are in that care are dependent on that care. Overnight facilities, whether they be medical, i.e. hospitals, or nursing facilities, and those are the two primary ones. Let's turn to page three. Next part is the only one that can petition. This is a legal process. The only one that can petition for this is the Department of Health. As they are the licensing agency, they are the only ones that can do this. No third parties, no dissatisfied anybody's. This is the Department of Health. Now, they can be in response to a petition. They can be in response to a concern or a complaint, but they have to go actually make the determination that there's a cause and bring the action to the court. Now, probably the most important thing of this entire bill, two things, but the first important thing that we come to is on page 3, line 9 through 12. There are two circumstances. One, they don't have a license for whatever reason, but the most important reason that we would even consider doing this is the imminent danger of death or significant mental or physical harm. Folks, we're not taking this lightly. We have no interest in running these facilities. We have no interest in owning these facilities. In fact, that's the number two, is we're not taking over ownership of these facilities. We're taking over the immediate operation of them to prevent and to assist in the transition of these folks to a better process. So then we get into the next one, the court. The receivership shall be what the court is responsible for. They have to be convinced that there is a need. We get into the appointment, what their duties are. We get to page 6. So those three pages intervening are the legal process. We get to page 6, we talk about the duties. And the duties are on page 6 and page 7 into page 8. But on page 6, these are the required duties of the receivership. This is what the court provides them. And I want to be clear, as I said earlier, we have no interest in owning these facilities, and we're not taking over ownership. And I want to point that out on line 7. The duty of the receiver actually is to preserve the assets and property of the healthcare facility, not to the ownership of the state, but to the ownership of whoever has responsibility for them. So we have no interest in owning these facilities. We do have, and the rest of the duties talk about, is taking care of the immediate needs of the residents that are there and the patients that are there. And then on page 7 and 8, we talk about some permissive activities that the receiver can do, which in this case, which for this bill is the department. And then we get to page 9. How do we get out of a receivership? And I think this should also give us a clear that there is an end to this. This does not go on forever. So this is Romanettes 1, 2, and 3. It's no longer necessary because the conditions have been remedied, whether they were life and safety type issues or financial issues or whatever. It's taken care of. The court says we don't need it anymore. We're done. Two, the residents are no longer in the facility. As you may recall, for those that lived in the southwest part of the state, south central and western part of the state, these two facilities, folks were leaving. The agency that's responsible for them stepped in, found a transitional agency, company to take them over, and those folks that were there, this was their home, they were able to stay there, and now we're building back up. So it's a, this is a perfect example of how this works. And that is actually number three. You figure out another operator to come in and take care of it, and it goes on. So ladies and gentlemen, that's how it's terminated. Does not, and it does not last forever. And we certainly, as a state, do not gain ownership. The next one is priorities. This basically outlines how the receiver takes care of the bills as they come. And then the liability issue. And then, of course, we talk about there are some other receivership acts in our current statutes. You'll see on page 12, we have in Title I, there's some receivership language. And then there's some also receivership language elsewhere that is not referenced. But this, just in case we didn't cover anything, we have some existing receivership language that could come into play if it's needed. So anyway, it's effective July 1st. Be glad to stand for any questions. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it will do so with a recommendation that Bill number 63 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. House Bill 63 has passed the House. Has passed the Committee of the Whole.
The next bill for consideration is House Bill 80. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 80 from Representative Greer, an act relating to the Wyoming Community College Commission, modifying the standard and exception budget request processes for state appropriations for community colleges, requiring a recalibration of the standard budget request as specified, providing definitions, providing for an effective date. Your committee number three, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 80, Community College Budget Request Recalibration, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that are due pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Madden, Wilson, Reeder voted no, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Kinner? I know. By Chair Casper, perhaps. Excuse. Chairman Madden. Okay, by Chair Sue Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 80 do pass, and I further turn and I turn the presentation of the bill over to whom am I turning it over to? This fine, what?
I further
move the Standing Committee Amendment number one.
Yep.
And
can you present both of them? Go ahead and turn the explanation of the bill over to.
And I will turn the explanation of the bill over to Representative Kinner, apparently.
Just as a quick clarification before I do that, so have you are you turning both the amendment and the bill over to him for further discussion? I think. Yeah. Okay. Have you moved the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I will turn the amendment over to Representative Greer after the presentation of the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Representative. So let's first go to Representative Kinner. I'm sorry, Representative Greer. Carry on.
That's right. Hey, thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. What I'll do here is I'll just quickly do the explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment, which are simple corrections, are just some technical cleanups. So let me go ahead and hit those. The Standing Committee, the Revenue Committee, on this had an amendment on page 4, line 20, and I want to draw your attention to that. And so as the bill is drafted on that, it talks in terms of changes to the base amount, which is a definition. And as the bill read, it said, plus all increases enacted pursuant to the reference statute. And the Standing Committee correctly said that should be plus all changes, so it's increases and decreases, because there is an opportunity the opportunity exists for a decrease to that base amount to occur. So that was a correction by the Revenue Committee and a very good cleanup item. And then the Revenue Committee also added an addition here that said any funding increases or decreases as determined by the state legislature shall be distributed in proportion to the funding amounts determined pursuant to the reference statute there. And that was the Revenues Committee just making it very clear, I think, which was already implied. So these were technical cleanups. I think they were very good cleanups. And so I'd ask that, barring any questions on this, that we go ahead and pass the Standing Committee amendment, and then I'll turn the explanation over the bill, or explanation of the bill, over to my good friend from Sheridan County.
The question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted, and we are back on the bill. Representative Kinnear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry for the rough start there, but we'll pick up pace, and I hope you'll see that really what we're trying to do here is some good work for our community colleges in Wyoming. And what this is doing is really, I might remind you of the discussion we had the other day where two good friends and two good representatives had a discussion about whether or not this was ready for prime time, and I certainly appreciated that discussion. And so here we are. What we're trying to do now is get the community colleges into basically a recalibration formula, and this is something that's been needed for a long time. And to demonstrate that, as many as 15 years ago, I happened to be the chairman of one of these particular institutions in the northern part of the state, up the interstate, very close to our border with a state above us. And, you know, this was a big concern to us that every year we had to come back and send a bill for an exception budget to take care of enrollment growth or the lack of growth. And so very much a concern. And to demonstrate the effect of that on us, the original requested amount this year was $14 million. Well, you can imagine if you take $14 million and you divide that by 7 community colleges, really look at that impact and whether or not those folks would receive that funding on an annual basis. So really what we have here is a way to put a thing in place that will adjust this on an enrollment basis. We will work for the next biennium, and then the recalibration will take place. We will work, this bill works with the commission, as you know, community college funding. All the money goes to the commission, and then the commission divides it up by a formula. This formula is very similar to that formula that the commission actually uses. And I would suggest that the committee worked really hard on this summer, and I appreciate the good representative from over the mountain and his good work. Folks, this is the 19th version of this, and I think that we've come to a good spot, and I think we are, in fact, ready for prime time. And so I would urge you to vote aye on the bill.
Further discussion, Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I further support this bill. I would also like to thank the good bringer of the bill. He did a great job. His people that were working with him in appropriations, they spent a lot of time and effort in that, and they've done a great job. They've pulled together, got something together that we can live with. We spent quite a bit of time traveling this summer. I attended the meetings, and I would fully support this bill. Let's pass it on.
Any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Wilson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 80 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 80 has passed Committee of the Whole. Back to you, Representative Cannon.
Okay, we're on 50.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50. The reading clerk will read the bill. The House clerk will read the bill.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 50 from the Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature, providing appropriations for the operation of the legislative branch of state government and providing for an effective date. Your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred House Bill 50, appropriation for the legislature, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Berger, Brown, Connolly, Hunt, Larson, Madden, Moniz, Northrup, Petros, Stebson, Throne, and Walters. Greer was excused, signed by Representative and Speaker Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 50 do pass. I also would like to move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50, and for that explanation, I'll defer both the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment to Representative Stubson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll start with the Standing Committee Amendment, and then there's also a Committee of the Whole Amendment, and then we'll move to the bill. The Standing Committee Amendment really addresses two things. Many of you may have been up to the northern part of the state. The Treasurer has had, for the last several years, an investment conference up there where he invites in the investment managers that are chiefly responsible for managing the state's permanent investments, and has a conference for a day or two. And this, in an effort to encourage legislators to attend, would allow for both the mileage and per diem for legislators who attend, as well as the registration fee for that conference. That's Section 11. Section 12 is an appropriation to cover the work of a Capitol Building Rehabilitation and Oversight Group. This is actually a fairly lean amount compared. The subcommittee's been meeting on almost a bi-monthly basis. The oversight committee has been meeting on a monthly basis, but the figure before you is based upon 5 meetings for the next year. And so we tried to trim that down. But I'd take any questions on the standing amendment. Other than that, I'd ask for your aye vote on the standing committee amendment.
Yes, Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move to divide the amendment. Lines 1 through 11 would be Division 1, and lines 12 through 20 would be Division 2.
Which division would you like to take up first?
Division 1, Mr. Chair, have no concerns and would ask for its favorable adoption on Division 1.
Okay, Division 1 is lines 1 through 11. Let's have discussion.
Question being
called. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Motion carries. Okay, we're on division number 2, lines 12 through 20. Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will do this really quick, and I would hope for a longer conversation on a second or third reading. But I would ask the body to delete this appropriation. Just some really quick background. We started planning for this capital renovation back in 94. By about 2011, we started with an advisory committee made up of the governor, the elected officials, deputies, Division of A&I, Construction Management, SHPO, and two foreign members of the legislature. And we were meeting once a month or so. And then we got to 2014, and we passed Senate Enrolled Act 43, which you will all remember who was here, that created this oversight committee. Well, in 2015, the oversight committee has met since January 1st, 2015. They've met 26 times. Your advisory committee has met once for 2 hours. During the last committee year on legislative facilities, we didn't meet one time. Right, the first time in 125 years, we're no longer in the Capitol. Your Legislative Facilities Committee didn't meet once. And so during the Oversight Committee hearings, then I find out they decided they needed to work harder, and so they formed subcommittees. So now we have subcommittee of the Oversight Committee. But I'd remind you, the Advisory Committee has met once for 2 hours last April. And so we have now an amendment that gives another $40,000 to oversight. But I would like to come back on second reading and ask the body to maybe give some money to the advisory committee, because moving forward, I think that will be much more important. If you look back at Senate Enrolled Act 43 in 2014, it was very specific on duties and roles of the advisory committee and the oversight committee. And I think moving forward, we're going to need a lot more funding to the advisory committee, as they're going to be back to making kind of the more minute decisions than the overall picture. And so I don't have a substitute amendment at this time, but I'm sure I can work on one with the leadership of the body, and we can come to a better agreement. But for the time being, I would like you to remove this section.
Further discussion? Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to pass this amendment. This was structurally faulty from the beginning, and the activities of the advisory committee contributed to a lot of confusion with the architect about at what level decisions were being made. And as a result of that, there were decisions and actions taken by the architect that then were not ratified by the oversight committee, and the whole process ran into a lot of confusion and wheel spinning. And so the oversight committee tried to put a stop to that wheel spinning, a stop to the duplicate work, and a stop to the confusion of the architects by taking over some of the duties that were assigned to the other committee. And I'm sorry that they feel bad about it, and I sort of feel bad about it myself, but the bill just wasn't right, and it wasn't working, and we were spending a lot of money that we didn't need to spend. Now, with respect, and all that aside, that's no reason to delete this funding at this time. And so I think I'm not for the amendment. I'm against the amendment. I think. I was for it before I was against it. But the funding is important for the Oversight Committee to go forward, and we cut it back. I don't know what we'll get back from the other body, but we cut it back to five meetings. Here's the reason we did that. When we got rid of a bunch of that wheel spinning, when we got the thing reorganized, when we hired the group that we now have guiding the Capitol and started to work with them, we began to gain a level of confidence that we had never had before about the management and design of this project. And they are leading us in a really good direction and doing really good work. And as our comfort level has come up, I think that we feel we can have less and less involvement. And so this thing is cut back. And there were options given to us, as many as a dozen oversight meetings and a dozen subcommittee meetings. And I felt and argued that we didn't need that. So we cut it back to 5 and 5. There's another thing in here. Typically on a meeting, you get one day's preparation, paid for one day's preparation for each meeting that you have. We took the preparation out. We don't need preparation. We don't need to be paid for that. So the preparation is out of this, which is normally included in reimbursement. And so we just have it down to 5 meetings. I think that's enough. I think the people that we now have in charge of the project have our confidence. We're convinced they know what they're doing. This is their business, and they've done it before in the state to the northwest of us, and in the state to the west of us, and in another state to the, far to the east of us. They've done this project. They have a lot of experience. And when you just see them, you can see that they brought a level of expertise to this and a level of experience to it that we didn't have before. So that's why we've cut it back. But we need an appropriation. We need this committee to meet a few times. They need authorization from time to time. And I'm sorry about the advisory committee and their hurt feelings, but that's no reason to cut this appropriation. So I would urge you to vote against cutting this appropriation.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe for the good speaker, he can even answer this, or the bringer of the amendment. We're talking about the Rehabilitation and Restoration Committee. And usually when we're going through a building, the State Office Building Commission has something to do with this. Are they anywhere involved with any oversight of this, or is it left to the Rehabilitation and Restoration Committee? Is that figured in any of this? Just a question. Thank you.
Representative Swanser, Dan?
I'll do my best to attempt to answer that.
Excuse me. We have...
That's all right. I'll defer to Speaker Pro Tem if you need...
Okay.
I'll do my best, and if I mess up, I'm sure the good Speaker Pro Tem will correct me. Generally, the State Building Commission is not as involved as they used to be. However, the governor is on the oversight committee, and certainly the governor's office, being the chief official of the state, is probably the correct person as we move forward. So I would say the State Building Commission still, you know, is familiar with the project, and they get updates, but not as necessary as they were as we started in 2012 through 2015. But now the governor's office is even more involved than they used to be.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Being a member of the original Restoration Committee, that committee, just for your historical content, was comprised of representatives from all of the top five elected officials, a group selected from each body, the legislature, Senate, and we met over a 2.5-year period to slowly work through and methodically come to this decision. Right now what you have is an oversight committee that does not represent any of those interests other than the two bodies. And to be frank with you, when asked, when put forth the question to one of the members of the current oversight, when they started redoing everything that we did, and basically lots of duplication of effort, the question was put, have we done anything that you have any faith in? And the answer was no. So I'm on and for this.
Is there any further discussion? Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I would just say, just be careful that you know what you're doing. I mean, if you vote aye on this and you pull all the funding, it essentially means there's no oversight of the project. So we can just sort of cut the cords and let the architects and everybody do what they want to do. If you want to actually have oversight and input on the project, I would adopt this amendment.
Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry. Minority floor leader.
Really, I don't want to run this place. I'm happy to leave that to the current majority floor leader. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to add that we all voted on a bill that set up the structure we're currently using. And if we think there's a better structure out there, there's a way to do a bill and change it. Those of us on Capitol Oversight have spent a lot of time on this project, and I certainly appreciate all the work of the advisory task force and the community members and the former legislators who were involved in that. We have relied on their work, but we did have to make some changes, and that's part of the process. And so that's all I have to say.
Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make it clear, I now have the amendment in front of me, which is very helpful. I'm asking you, I used to be against this, but now I'm for it, okay? We need to pass this amendment. This is an amendment to the feed bill. And this amendment, and the part that's in question right now, would take $40,000 and authorize that funding for the oversight committee. That $40,000 comes out of the, I guess it would be $300 million for the capital. So it's not a hit to the budget for $40,000. It authorizes that $40,000 to be spent from the funds that are dedicated to the restoration of the Capitol and the Hersler building and all that. So I'm asking you to vote for
this for Division II.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought we divided this amendment.
That's correct. We're on the second division.
And so if I understand the previous, Mr. Speaker, I thought the presenter of the amendment was, his amendment was to delete the $40,000, and an aye vote would be in favor of deletion of that $40,000. Do I have that wrong?
Yes, Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, an aye vote would keep the $40,000 and a no vote would take it out. I'm absolutely confident on second and third reading, you'll see an amendment that would fix it. This is more just to have a short discussion. I don't disagree with anything that the Speaker, the minority floor leader said. I do think that we had some structural issues, but I do think also that we have not relied on the advisory task force moving forward, and I do think we should put some funds as well. I did want to possibly correct one statement. If you vote no, it's not like the oversight committee is not going to meet ever again. The money would just come from the capital rehabilitation account where it's been coming from. So vote your conscience. I think you'll see a second amendment from me that hopefully has some more broad agreement on second or third reading. I just wanted to draw the body's attention to the fact that we should probably work together moving forward. As far as I know, at least two members of the oversight committee in the House aren't coming back in 2017. Probably the same for the Senate. And so moving forward, I do think we need to have a broader diversity of opinions and voices over the next 3 years, and we'll do some better planning as we move forward. So vote your conscience, but be ready for second or third reading.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you. Just one quick clarifying comment. This does come from the Capital Building Rehabilitation Restoration Account. So that's where this money in this amendment is being pulled from, just to make sure that the body understands that.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Ready for the question? Okay, we are voting on lines 12 through 20 of the amendment. This is the second division. That's what we are voting on. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
No.
Motion passes. All right, we are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of a Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50. And, folks, if you'll turn to page 2 on the bill, on line 2 on session staff, this amendment would add $14,220, a little more on line 3 of $1,122, and on line 7, $14,658. This is all for staff, mileage, and per diem to fund the Title 25 task force as it moves forward.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 001, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. Okay, we are back on the bill. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a quick question. Were the global cuts that were applied to the executive branch budget applied to this bill? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll answer that, and then I'll explain a little bit more about the bill. No, fortunately, because in the legislature we actually control the building of the budget, we had a lot more control over the line items in the budget. And so we controlled our spending through cutting those line items rather than going through and doing the global cuts, and that's the benefit you have when you build your own budget. The budget that you have before you, the feed bill in total is, and this was before the amendments that were just passed, was $611,149 less than for the last biennium. And that savings comes in a number of different places, and I won't go through every line item in the bill. But for example, if you look on line 2 or page 2, line 21, we actually cut telecommunications from $160,000 last biennium to $90,000 this biennium, and did that as part of the move and cutting down on the lines that we need and those sorts of things. And those are the sorts of changes that were made throughout. On page 6, line 6, the technology project, you'll see an appropriation for $250,000, which is down from $775,000 in the last biennium. And so the other key provision I draw your attention to, there is flexibility on page 9. Management Council does have flexibility to flex some amounts as needed. If, for example, you have a committee that has a couple extra committee meetings and that sort of thing. But in general, this is the feed bill. I've got specific line items, if you'd like to see it, of the differences between 15 and 16 and this present budget. Staffing-wise, we're at 35 employees right now, which is up. Remember how we were very thinly staffed last session and had to bring in some contract people for the session. Through the new director, we have kind of built up. There's three vacancies they hope to fill over the next year. There will be about 35 to 38 staff over the next year. So I'd take any questions. Otherwise, we can call for the question.
Any further discussion? The question being called, all those in favor of Madam Majority Floor Leader's motion to when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it will do so. The recommendation that House Bill number 50 pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. Majority Floor Leader Berger.
Thank you, Chairman Kenner. I move that the House be in recess, stand in recess until 1:30.
Do I have to take a motion on that?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Committee announcements, please. There we are. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Education's going to meet in the new 302, which is L54. And don't forget to grab yourself a turkey, ham, or roast beef sandwich on the way by. And we're going to look at the budget with the Senate. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet in 5 minutes in room H38. To consider the following bills, Senate File 47, Juvenile Sex Offender, and Senate File 46, Asset Forfeiture.
Chairman Zwanisser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in 5 minutes in H37 to discuss three bills, House Bill 119, Campaign Finance Reporting, House Bill 107, Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act, and House Bill 108, Foreign LLC Operations in Wyoming. You're all invited.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 10, Labor, will meet Friday, February 19th, 10 minutes after noon recess in H37 to hear Senate File 49.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting at 8 a.m. on Friday, February 19th. To hear Senate File 8, Bicycle and Pedestrian Pathway in room L38.
We will rise and sit again at 1:30.